The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
100 years before Jesus, a Roman named Publilius Syrius wrote that everything is worth what someone will pay for it. And some of you have heard the story of how I discovered the truth of this one summer when I worked high up in the mountains of Oregon at a fishing camp. You see, I ran the camp store, which meant that from time to time people would come in and they'd ask me things like, hey, I'm running out of gas, where's the nearest gas station? And I'd say, oh, you know, it's just about 50 miles away. And they'd say, 50 miles? I don't think I can make it that far. Do you have any gas that I could buy? And I'd say, why, yes, I do. I have a 5-gallon can of gas that I will sell you for $50. And they'd look at me and they'd say, wait, that's $10 a gallon. And I'd say, well, the alternative is that the gas station is mostly downhill from here. And sure enough, it would turn out that can of gas was worth $10 a gallon because everything is worth what someone will pay for it. And it worked in all sorts of situations. There was once a young man who came up to that camp late one Friday evening, and he came into the store and said, hey, I just brought my girlfriend out for her first camping experience, and I forgot a tent. And he said to me, would you happen to have one? And I said, well, you know, we don't normally keep tents in stock here, but you're in luck because someone left a tent last week. I'll sell it to you for $100. And he said, $100 for a used tent? And I said, how much is your girlfriend's happiness worth? Turns out it was worth $100. This idea that everything is worth what someone will pay for it, it appears in the Bible also. Most obviously in today's reading from Genesis. You see, we've continued our story following the family of Abraham and Sarah. And last week we heard how Isaac, their son, marries Rebekah. And this week we hear that Rebekah and Isaac have twins, Jacob and Esau. Now, even though they're twins, one of them has to come out of the womb first, and Esau wins the race by a nose. Literally, Jacob is holding on to Esau's heel as he's born, as if Jacob was trying to pull him back in the womb so that Jacob can come out first. But Esau makes it and becomes the firstborn, and to the firstborn is given a birthright. Deuteronomy describes this birthright as not only becoming the head of the family, but inheriting a double portion of inheritance, twice as much as what any other son would inherit. And Isaac is a wealthy man with many flocks, with chests of gold, with camels. A double portion of his inheritance would be a vastly sum. And yet we hear that one day, as Esau has been working out in the fields, he comes home and he's famished from the work that he's been doing. But Jacob has stayed inside cooking. And so Esau says to Jacob, I am famished. Give me some of that red stuff, some of that red stew. And in that moment, Jacob realizes what I realized up in the mountains of Oregon, that he had this person over a barrel. Because you see, Esau is desperate and there's nowhere else to turn for food except Jacob. And so Jacob says to Esau, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some of this stew if you give me your birthright. Now, it seems like it would be a crazy thing to trade a double share of your inheritance for a bowl of soup. But Esau says, I am starving. Of what good to me is my birthright if I die? And so if we say that everything is worth what someone will pay for it, that bowl of lentils and a little bit of bread, it was worth camels and chests of gold and hundreds of sheep and cattle. It was worth having the place of honor in a family. And we might say it is the most valuable bowl of lentils in the history of the world. But it is amazing what people will pay when they are in need and have nowhere else to turn. Which is why in this country, monopolies are supposed to be illegal. But God has a monopoly. God has a monopoly on the thing we need most. Because each and every one of us will someday die. And perhaps right now we are more keenly aware of that than ever. And everyone we love will also someday die. And God has what no one else can give us. Life. Eternal life. Eternal life that we can share with each and every single person that we love. And people would be willing to pay astronomical sums for this life. But God? God gives it away for free. It is given to each and every one of us freely as a gift. And yet God knows that the human mind works in such a way that we say, well, everything is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. And so God says, let me show you how much this life I give you is worth. And God becomes human in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, God is willing to go to the cross to show us that God would pay for the life that God gives us with God's own life. If everything is worth what someone will pay for it, God has paid for your life with God's life. You are worth the creator of the universe. And at this moment, you may be thinking to yourself, well, sure, I'm a pretty swell person. I mean, look, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I'm sitting here watching church online. I could be watching Hamilton. But no, I'm here doing the right thing and learning about Jesus. So of course God loves me that much. Of course God's willing to give God's life for me. But here's the thing. Jesus lays down his life, not just for you, not just for people who are tuning in right now or who will tune in later in the week. Jesus lays down his life to pay for the life of every single person, even the ones who will never come to church, even the ones who will never give thanks to God. And to explain this, Jesus tells us a parable. He tells us the parable of the sower, and in this parable, a farmer goes out to sow seeds. And Jesus says the farmer begins to sow seeds, and some of them he scatters on a path, and the birds come and they eat the seeds. And some of them the sower scatters on rocky ground. And they sprout quickly, but then the heat comes, and because they have no depth to their roots, those plants wither and die. And the sower scatters some among thorns, and the thorns choke out those plants. But some seeds get scattered on good soil, and they take root, and they give fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And Jesus says that in this parable, the seed that is scattered is the word about the kingdom of God. And the soil is you and each and every one of us. And Jesus is saying, look, some of you will hear God's word and you won't understand it, and so the evil one will come and snatch it out of your heart, and nothing will come of you having heard about God and God's love for you. And Jesus says, that's like the seed scattered on the path where the birds eat it. And Jesus says, look, some of you will hear God's word and you will rejoice in it, but as soon as you realize how hard and challenging it is to follow, you'll give up. And Jesus says, that's like what it is for the seed that's sown on rocky ground. As soon as the heat comes, it withers away. And Jesus says, some people are like soil with thorns growing in them, which are the worries of this world and the lure of wealth that choke out and distract people from being able to focus on the Word of God. But Jesus says, there are also some people whose hearts are good soil. And when they hear the word of God, it takes root and it flourishes, and they share it 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. Now, for you and me, when we look around at people, we don't know what kind of soil they are. And so we are called to scatter the word of God's love for them and find out what happens. But Jesus does know what's in each and every person's heart. Jesus knows who among us has birds pecking away, and who among us has stones buried just underneath the surface that won't let the word take root. And Jesus knows which one of us has thorns that are choking out the things that matter most. And Jesus knows which ones of us are good soil. But here's the thing, even for those of us with birds and rocks and thorns, Jesus still scatters the seed on us also. Jesus does this. He does this with his life and with his death. Because living, he was willing to preach to the crowds who would turn on him. He was willing to teach the disciples who would abandon him. He was willing to dine with the Pharisees who would denounce him. Now, if a farmer here in the North State went out and took his seed and planted rice seed in a bird feeder, or planted rice seed in a parking lot, or planted rice seed in the midst of a blackberry bramble, everyone would say that farmer is crazy, because that farmer will get no return on investment. But this is exactly what Jesus does. Jesus plants the seeds even for the people that he knows won't respond. Because in a world in which one brother is willing to demand the inheritance of another brother to keep him from starving to death, and in a world where a pastor-to-be sees a camper without a tent, and instead of thinking, oh, this is a ministry opportunity, thinks, this is a business opportunity. And in a world where our leaders are openly debating how many people's lives are worth losing so that we can return to normal, Jesus wants us to know that God has a different type of economics. Jesus gives his life and his death so that we might know God is not interested to see how much he can get from us for what God has to offer. God is interested in how much God can give to us so that we might know how much we are worth to God, even if we offer nothing in return, not even our gratitude. Now, there is a word in agriculture for the type of sowing that Jesus does. Now, if someone is going through and planting each seed carefully in the soil to make sure it's in the right spot where it'll grow, that's called precision planting. But when someone scatters the seed far and wide, the word for that is broadcasting. And those of us in the North State, we know broadcasting well, especially if we've ever driven up I-5 and had World War II planes dive bomb us. Because what those planes are doing is they're opening their hatch and letting rice seed be broadcast all over the field. Now, Jesus broadcasts, but he doesn't have a plane to do it. Instead, he uses a different piece of technology. Jesus uses a boat. In our gospel lesson today, it says when the crowds were pressing around him on the seashore, he goes out on a boat to preach to them. And anyone who's camped along a lake shore knows that sound travels much further over water, especially when you're trying to sleep. Jesus wants the whole crowd to hear what he has to say. He wants the whole crowd to know the message of God's love for them, even if three-quarters of the people who listen won't care. And so to broadcast, Jesus needs a sound system, and he uses a lake and a boat to be that sound system. Now, in the 1950s, a group of people here in Chico, California said, we need a place by which we can broadcast the message of God's love for the world in Jesus. And so they formed Faith Lutheran Church. And then in the 1980s, the next generation said, we need a new way to reach out to this community, to let them know how loved they are, how precious they are in God's eyes. And so they built this campus. They built this campus not just with a sanctuary where the members could come and hear God's word. They built this campus with classrooms and a parish hall and meeting spaces where Boy Scouts and AA and family who have a member who's on probation and are court-ordered to learn how to better communicate with one another. They wanted a place where these people could gather. And it might be that some of these people would someday come and worship in the sanctuary, and it might be that some of these people would go and worship elsewhere, and it would be very likely that many of these people will never give thanks to God. But the people of Faith Lutheran Church knew that Jesus had given his life to show how precious each and every single one of these people were. And so the walls of this building, the roof of this building, became a broadcasting system so that each and every person who walked through these doors might have a taste of how precious they are to God. Well, now it is the year 2020. And there are no longer crowds on our lake shores. There's not even crowds in our doors right now. But there are still crowds of people yearning for a good word, a message that they are loved, that they don't have to give up their inheritance or their birthright, that they would be welcome and accepted, that they are given life eternal and abundant. They are yearning for this good news. And so we are once again called to broadcast it. But the broadcasting we need today is broadcasting for the 21st century, which is why in the weeks ahead you will hear from our council about a capital campaign to raise money for a new audiovisual system, one that will communicate clearly the good news of God's love in Jesus, not just for the people who are here in our pews, but for the people who are scattered around the world, who are sheltering a place in home, for the people who don't know if there is a place where they would be welcomed in God's name, but have heard that maybe there's a little church in Chico where they can hear a word of love, and so they click just to find out. Now, the price tag for this audiovisual system, we have estimated at $110,000. And to be clear, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to communicate with people a message. But Jesus, in order to communicate the message of God's love for each and every single one of us, was willing to pay with his whole life. How precious is that message? How much is it worth to us to share that with a world hungry for good news? Now, this message that we have to share, whether Jesus shared it 2,000 years ago, whether the people of Faith Lutheran shared it in the 1950s or in the 1980s, or whether we share it today, no matter the technology that we use to broadcast it, our mission is the same. And it is a mission that our council has summed up in a new mission statement that we presented 2 weeks ago at our annual meeting. A mission to be a community reflecting God's love, with a place at the table for everyone. Everything we have comes from God. And so we are called to reflect the love and the blessings that we have received out into the world so that they might know that Jesus has a table prepared for them with a meal for all those who are hungry at heart. A meal that they don't have to give up their birthright for, because Jesus has given up his birthright that we might have it and be proclaimed the firstborn children of God. Amen.